On the transition track again this morning, I wanted to read a person whom we all know, his most dramatic transition and his reflections on it later in life. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. That was his not yet time, in between time. Some time later, when he was back in Jerusalem reflecting on this incident to the people in Jerusalem, he said, he carried a little further. He said, "A certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law and well spoken of by all the Jews living there, came to me, and standing beside me, he said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' In that very hour I regained my sight and saw him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his own voice. For you will be his witness to all the world of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name.'" That was Paul's recollection of what had happened when he got knocked off the horse or knocked to his feet when he was walking to Damascus. And we hope that that's one of the experiences we'll work toward in this workshop, to look back at a former transition and say, "Oh, that's what was happening back there. That's what was going on. That's what I was getting ready for." And hopefully that'll prepare us in the current transitions in which we find ourselves to say, "Oh, someday that's going to come, and I'll look back on this and say, that's what was happening then."
Okay. Well, last night we talked some in concepts and some in pictures. We projected a couple of different diagrams on the screen and gave you a little bit of a couple of different theoreticians' ideas about what transition looks like. It's pretty bland, though. I think Bridges' line that Carl put up there was much flatter than anybody's line usually is as you go through that. And Lewin's square through the circle to the triangle is pretty geometric and usually how it looks when we progress through various stages of our lives. We don't see things happening usually that simply or that straightforward. And so I heard some people in your stories or even just your little bits of comments having some visuals in as part of the way that you depicted things. And this morning we're going to be doing some right brain kinds of things to help us get a little bit more into a different slant on our story. It's probably still going to be not totally three-dimensional, but we're going to be taking some newsprint in a little bit and drawing a picture to depict a transition in the past, one that we have gotten through, not the one that we're currently in. Most of what I heard last night would give the general impression that it wouldn't be possible for most of us to depict the new beginning yet. that some of us might be able to, but we want to first, as we're thinking about developing an image of the patterns and some understanding, as Paul had, of what the aha experiences are that we draw out of past transitions, that we need to look at one that had the end, the middle ground, and some time that we've spent with the new. For instance, Catherine talked about having left Chicago and her work with the Division for Global Mission, coming here through a process and then being here. Now she's getting ready to leave, but being here for several years has been a part of that, what at the time that she was leaving Chicago was the new beginning that she was looking at. And so how you might want to symbolize that without using words on a piece of newsprint. Think about that a little bit. I want to give you another word picture here, though, that can lead you into some understanding of somebody else's picture. It's not so much that we're afraid of change or so in love with the old ways, but it's that place in between we fear. It's like being between trapezes. It's Linus when his blanket is in the dryer. There's nothing to hold on to. I really like that. Marilyn Ferguson is the woman who wrote The Aquarian Conspiracy, and she's done a lot with future thinking, and her book is fairly academic, and this to me was just a delight to think about those pictures of being between the trapezes, knowing that probably someone is going to swoop down and hang on, but there you are, kind of letting go of one and not quite jumping in, into a hole with the other one. But I love the blanket one. As our unit within the ELCA has been going through over a year's worth of preparing to become a new unit, merging with another one, and facing some of the changes personnel-wise and philosophy that has to go into that, we have circulated this quote around the lot. We haven't had the blanket that we were used to, and we weren't sure what it was going to look like when it came out of the dryer. Was it going to be littler, or was it going to be faded? How was it going to be? So we have newsprint here, and I think we have it in sufficient quantity, and we have markers. I'd like for you to take one sheet of newsprint. It's not very large, so that if you tend to be very panoramic in your thinking, you might have to go behind the piano and get one of the large pieces of newsprint. But if you begin to think about some symbols that you could put together that would tell a part of your story, and after we've committed some symbols to a paper, then you're going to find a partner and share a part of your story. Because last night, one of the things that Carl pointed to was the benefit that we get from telling our story again. But before we do that, Jeanette had a aha last night, a recollection of how a particular picture that had major significance to her family was used. And so she brought it with us, with her this morning. And so if you'd like to, I can hold it up. It's a Monet. And if you want to talk about it.
This is a Monet of a bridge in Oslo, actually. But we did a lot of work with people in transition overseas that I mentioned yesterday. And there was a fellow by the name of Sydney Workman, who's a psychologist in Colorado, who came and did a workshop. And he used this image of the bridge, and overseas was relating to people, you know, which side of the bridge are you on? Have you made the transition to a new culture or not? Are you straddling the bridge in the middle? Have you moved into the new culture? Are you still in the past? But I think it has a lot of relevance to any transition of where are you on this bridge. I have kind of a visual image for that that's been helpful to me.
And so as we move into drawing our pictures this morning, we want to capture the both sides of the bridge and the middle. What was it that you moved from? How did you move there? And what did you move to? So, there are plenty of tables in this building. There are tables in the several reading rooms. There are tables out in the hallway there, coffee table and a reading table. There are, of course, plenty of floor space in the room next door. And you can move some chairs back around here and use the floor space here if you'd like to. Does anybody have any questions before you disperse for about 20 minutes to draw your picture? Even if you're not feeling real artistic and creative this morning. Yes?
Did you say that you wanted this to be something we could encapsulate as being an end, middle, and beginning?
Yes.
So it can't necessarily be something that we're doing now?
That's right. Okay. That's right. This is one that's been worked through.
Okay.
So we're going to draw a picture of something that's been worked through?
That you have had all three parts of it, that you've moved from something, through something, and can fully understand it.
Well, we're going to go with the group that's here.
I want you to look around and see, identify somebody that doesn't know your story that you depicted. In other words, probably for those of you who came with a spouse, you're going to look for someone else. Or if you came with a child, you're going to look for someone who doesn't know your particular story. And then I want you to pair up with that other person and share what your drawing means, because probably they're not going to be able to get the whole idea from looking at the picture that you've drawn. But having looked at one or two of the pictures, Dwight's would need a little bit of explanation.
That's him under the rock.
Okay. Need to take your picture with you. And I want the person who's telling the story to share as much as you care to about what the picture meant, and the listener to really listen carefully to see what kinds of clues that you might hear from the story as to the kinds of skills that the person you hear the story that you'd like to make sure that the person understands from your listening afresh, because that's one of the benefits of telling your story to a new audience. You hear yourself telling it differently, and the new person can perhaps give you some ideas as to what they heard you saying about how it was for you going through that.
So you're supposed to do more than just what happened, but how it happened.
How it was for you as you went through it.
Okay. But how we coped, or how it was?
How we coped, how you coped, how you felt, what you did to get through it. And perhaps some of the things about
the leave-taking or the saying goodbye to the old and the saying hello to the new. Those elements. Okay? So, find a partner. Well, I certainly saw a lot of gesturing and a lot of exchange from, and it seemed to be that there was a fair amount of passion as you told somebody else your story. How did it feel to you? Were there certain parts of it that you kind of thought that you had pushed down and dealt with, and now talking about it to some new person, you had to relive a part of it?
Yeah. It was wonderful sharing. I found myself with tears that surprised me. Moved down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments about how it felt to tell your story?
It was nice to have someone listen and have someone respond to something that you've been going through internally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes when we're in the middle, we feel like we're all alone. And one of the words that was on that list that Carl projected last night was emptiness. And that's a part of being alone in it, that you sometimes feel like the rest of the world is coping and they don't want to know that I'm not coping, and I don't want to tell them that I'm not really coping too well, and so I'll keep it to myself. And sometimes that works, and then other times it doesn't. The sharing of our vulnerability sometimes is a release. It can be a positive experience.
Yeah, I became aware that I do a great big map, and every place where there's an action center on my map, there are a group of people there saying goodbye to me, and I am saying goodbye to them, and unfinished, I'm always saying goodbye to somebody, and I became very much aware of lots of sadness and grief or whatever it is about all those people that are waving goodbye to me and I to them. And now that's starting again as I think about another move. Maybe I better stay someplace for a while mm-hmm. instead of moving all the time. But anyway, mm-hmm. very much aware of the grieving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we shared it last night, but part of our coming back, we thought we were going back to New Guinea, so we didn't say goodbye to anybody.
Oh.
And every time somebody like that would come to the States, then we had to latch on to them.
Mm-hmm.
And say why we didn't come back. That's very important, to be able to say goodbye.
And then had to say goodbye then, huh?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't. I still entertained the idea that someday we'd go back. I felt we let everybody down by not going back. And so when people would come through, most other missionaries on furlough, as they would come through, I would renew with great zeal that connection with them and still not be able to say goodbye. It was, well, we'll keep this fantasy going that there will be another time that we will connect. And of course, the people who didn't ever come through were the people who lived there. I mean, the New Guineans themselves. We have never closed that part of it off because we've not gone back. We've not had that part of it. And they didn't have the opportunity like the missionaries did to come to this country and see us. So
I noticed in leave-taking, there's always a lot of promises. Oh yeah, we'll come, and you come, and you got our address.
Right.
A lot of promises. You know you're not going to do it.
Right.
But it's still kind of a ritualized thing to say that you're going to do it.
Yeah. It's almost just like, so you don't have to say goodbye.
Yeah, avoiding the pain of it.
Yeah, avoiding the pain of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things Bridges mentions in the book is when you go to a party, notice your style of saying goodbye. Some of us go to every person in the room and shake hands and say, I'm leaving now. And some people you don't know they've left. They just kind of sidle out the door.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We've all got a different style or different way of saying goodbye.
And some are of us can't go, and the host and hostess are ready, you know. I'm ready to go to bed. Come on, you know. How did it feel hearing another person's story? Did you get anything out of just hearing the road that somebody else had traveled?
Yes, I really did from her. I just thought, oh, what's going to happen if I go through what she went through?
Mm-hmm.
And really not wanting to face that and wanting to pick her brain to see how in the world, you know, I know how you make it through, but you just wonder how you'll perform
mm-hmm.
if that time comes
mm-hmm.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very, very interesting to hear that part of the story. You want to hear it, but you don't want to
mm-hmm.
hear it.
Mm-hmm.
The reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anticipating things that
yes.
that mm-hmm. might come to us.
Yes.
And as we grow older, there are certain experiences that we project are going to inevitably come to us.
Mm-hmm.
On the boat yesterday, the man who kept talking to us had been a pilot on the river in a similar boat for 20 years, and this was the first time in about 12 years he'd been on the lake, and he was talking about how to hold on to the memories that. And the history, that there were very few people who shared some of the history with him, and it wasn't written down, and it was difficult. And so as we were trying to relate to him on a different plane than he was talking to us. We were saying something about, we had met an older woman from Chelan the night before, and, you know, trying to say, well, you know, connect up with her. Carl said her daughter is in a nursing home. All he heard was nursing home, and he said, "We got to stay out of there for as long as we can." You know, and so as your option with aging, as your options narrow, you know, you anticipate some things as being inevitable, and some people accept the inevitable, and other people work really hard to push it away. Anything else about listening to someone else's story?
For me, it was real special to hear Kristen's transition, because it reminded me that times and places and names change experiences. And she reminded me of a similar transition I had made.
Mm-hmm.
Not alike in every detail, but enough alike for me to hear what she was saying and be able to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just really special to be able to share stories. We get so caught up in rushing and not taking the time to listen to other people, not taking the time to tell our stories. We get a lot of vicarious stories through the media, through TV, and yet connecting with someone is such a special part of helping us on our journey, even though it's difficult to separate again from those people. And we're going to experience that on Monday when we all split again from this little cozy community that we're in the process of creating right now. That's another transition. Dwight. Did you have something?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, Ruth, it is nice to have something put down with the beginning, middle, and end, and also with some drawing. I feel really insecure in drawing anything.
Yeah.
And yet, this seems to have been a really accepting kind of the story that I shared with someone, she shared with me. We were emphasizing what had happened, not the funny little things we drew, but they gave you a focus so that you would remember to go through those steps even as you were telling it. Because sometimes when you tell people your story, you tell only selected parts. You don't give a beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
Or beginning muddle.
Yeah. Yeah, Diane.
I found that my picture began to draw itself. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to place an object here, and it was there.
Mm.
And it was a revelation to me that that was in fact what was happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned something about an old story by how the picture was drawn.
Sometimes taking the words out and just thinking about the symbols for various things helps us to see the situation in a different light.
I felt a closeness of both telling and listening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Last night somebody mentioned the grieving part of transition, and Bert mentioned it again this morning, and I wanted to just show you one person's diagram. Now this is called response to a negative change, and that's more in the context of an organizational setting, but I can't get it much clearer than this. Of course, if I put on my glasses, I'd be able to see.
It's clear.
Is that clear enough? Okay. Most of you are probably familiar with the Kubler-Ross words about the stages of dying. And this incorporates some of those. And this is just a random connection of these words.